You know, these Gautengers, they don't sleep at night. They're always doing something. And these creatives create when we don't look. And the next thing I know is I've got a brand new song to listen to, which is why I'm speaking to Lynette Jonathan today. Hello, Lynette. How are you doing?
Hey, Janine. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. Now, it's very official to release a song now. But and what it does say to me is you've got a voice, and because it's gospel, I'm hoping that you love Jesus. But first, I've got to get to know you as a person, the one that's relaxed, the one that's not on radio.
Okay. So I'm a normal, fun-loving, sociable person, born and brought up in Durban, moved to Johannesburg in 2007 after I got married. So I'm officially, I think it's like, what, 18, 17 years now. I'm a Gautenger. I love God. I love people. Yeah, that's just me.
And the music, I mean, you started early.
Oh, yes. Gosh, I started at the age of 4, singing like in church and singing at your conferences and in these tent meetings that, you know, Durban used to have. And then, yeah, I've been all my life in church, you know, born and brought up in a Christian home as well. And then officially started my music career in 2010.
And was it gospel music from the beginning, or did you go, you know, do the love song route as well?
No, gospel music from the beginning, you know, that's my stage. Yeah.
You know, Lynn, I never assume just because you've grown up in a Christian home, even if it's a pastor's home, that you actually, that you've made that connection. I mean, it's not default. You are not born good. So even as a young person, being exposed to such a lot of information and everybody's truth is their truth, you know, how do you know what you believe is the only truth out there?
Okay, so basically, as I mentioned earlier on, that, you know, I was born and brought up in a Christian home. So from the time I think we were born, you know, this is what we were taught by our parents. So growing up, we had to attend Sunday school, we attend youth, we attended church meetings. Obviously, still not having a full understanding of what is really happening in the gospel world. But as I grew up, you know, I started having my own understanding of who God was in our lives, and, you know, this God that my parents used to serve, and why do we have to do that? And yes, I think over the years, you know, I got to know God better for myself. And I think for me personally, I wouldn't have been where I am without God. So I know for me, he's just the only way, the truth and the life. There's no other God before him.
Because it's not as if you came off scot-free. I mean, you've been through life's challenges, which then tests your faith, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think challenges is just an understatement.
Like what? What did you go through?
All right. So when we talk about challenges, one of the challenges in my life is actually the fact that I got married in 2006. So this year will be 18 years. But for 12 years of my life, 12 years of my marriage, basically, I couldn't conceive. I was told by doctors that I will not have children. Medically, it's not possible. And I think that was one of the greatest challenges in my life. Hey, when I look at my life before I got married, when I lost my brother, I talk about that when he went on to a church trip, you know. And this is where my faith really got tested, because he went on to a youth trip, you know.
Yeah.
And a week before Christmas, he died. He was in a canoe, and two girls from the church knocked down his boat, but obviously not intentionally, you know. And we found him the next day. And I had to learn through challenges like this how to praise God, how to still keep the faith. You know, so it's things like that I've been through in my life. I've learned, even when I lost my dad in front of my eyes, but he was brought back to life by the grace of God. So when I talk about these challenges,
Because I'm thinking it's easy to then regain your faith when everything turns out happy. You know, you go through the bad stuff and then it turns around, hallelujah, and God works everything for the good. But when you actually lose someone, or when you don't fall pregnant and now it's years later and it hasn't been resolved, that becomes a sacrifice of praise. And what I want to ask you is, what makes your sacrifice real when you didn't get your answer? You don't know the why.
Even through the 12 years when I couldn't fall pregnant, even though I was tested, there were times when I wanted to throw in the towel. But I kept on pushing on. And obviously, my husband was my greatest motivation as well. And we both decided that we will keep on serving God. Our faith never wavered. Yes, as human beings, we get tested. We want to throw in the towel, but we kept pushing on. We kept pushing on. And 12 years later, God did it. The miracle came, which
now,
I'll tell you about.
Please, please, because I'm now thinking, you didn't expect Eli. He was this, because God doesn't, he doesn't tell you before, and oh, by the way, you're nearing the corner. You're going to go around this bend right now. How did you then find out I am pregnant?
Janine, if I tell you, you will never believe it. One morning I got up. I was shocked out of my mind. Like, literally, I didn't even tell my husband. I took this pregnancy test and I wrapped it up and I went to work. And I actually went to tell my friend at work first because I just couldn't believe it, And I said, and I kept on asking, God, is this me? It can never be. Because 12 long years, it can never be me. So eventually I plucked up the faith. I said to my husband, babe, this is the story. And I'm finding out that I'm pregnant. And so we went to the hospital. But, to cut a long story short, I miscarried the first time. I miscarried. Yes, I cried. I cried like a baby. But then we realized when we got up the next morning, I actually cried myself to sleep. When we got up the next morning, my husband and I, we looked at each other and we said, do we realize what just happened? Because if God did it the first time, he's going to do it again. Because it means that the ground is fertile now,
Yes.
Doctor said it's not going to happen. But yeah, it is. Now, we fell pregnant the first time. So it's going to happen again.
Okay, I need to know. Did you go to that same doctor, the one who said it's impossible? Because you have
yes.
to go back to that guy.
Yes. So here's the best part. So when we went to him, he said to me, "Okay, I'm gonna do a scraping for you. Let's do the DNC, and I'm gonna see what's going on inside your womb." So I said, "Okay, cool." So we did the DNC, and then the next week I went for the results, and he said to me, "This is your problem. This is this, and whatever, And it so happened, he said to me, come back to me in 6 weeks, his exact words. And he said to me, let's see what we can do for you. Because I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to do any treatments. I said, God, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen naturally, And to his surprise, when I went back to him in 6 weeks, I was already 4 weeks pregnant with Eli. And here's his exact words. Here's his exact words. He said to me, I don't know who you're praying to. He said, he's a 70-year-old man, a Muslim man. He says to me, all I can say is I don't know who you're praying to, but keep on praying to that God that you're praying to.
Sure.
That's what he said to us. And yeah, Eli was there after 4 weeks, but the challenges didn't stop there, hey?
Was it a difficult pregnancy?
It was a beautiful pregnancy, but at 16 weeks, we were called in to say that Eli will have a heart disease. They picked up in his blood system that he won't live long. They said that if he happened to live at 6 weeks, he's going to die, basically. And we said, whatever the odds are, we are going to face it, because they told us we couldn't fall pregnant, and here we are. So they asked us at the same time, can we abort him? They wanted us to terminate him at the same time, at 16 weeks, a fully formed baby. And we said, no, whatever the odds are, we will face it. And today, he's a healthy baby boy. Obviously, it's a journey as well with him. Certain milestones he still needs to reach. But we trust God. We're just doing what we can do for him in the natural, and God will do the rest.
You are very privileged that you are surrounded by people who love the Lord. I mean, you've got all these brothers.
Yes.
And your parents, who support you, and it's not only with your music,
yes.
to have them around, you can, when you're stressed, pray with you. That is a very precious thing.
No, absolutely. And we've got a great, aside from our families, we've got a great support system in our church. We've got amazing pastors that pray for us. We've got an amazing circle of friends. I also believe that your circle is very important. Who you associate with is very, very important, you know. So we know that we've got amazing people that's praying with us. And yeah, we covered.
Well, talking about life's challenges, they actually silenced your music for a time.
Yes. It did, yes.
How long?
So I would say I went silent from 2017, I would say. So I did my first album in 2010, okay? And it did quite well. I entered the Crown Gospel Awards. I got nominated in 2014. Then I kept on being busy in church and, you know, with different stuff on the sideline. Then 2017, I released my single, You Are Not Alone, which God was good. I entered the Crown Gospel again and I managed to win the best contemporary in the country. So praise God for that. And then in 2018, this is where Eli came. The story of Eli started. So from then to now is where I had to take a break because I became a mom and I wanted to focus more on that side of life. You know, I wanted to give him my attention because he needed it. So yeah. I would say about 6 years.
Sure. 6 years is a long time to be quiet. But I mean, you're a songwriter as well. In that time, did you not write a single thing or did you keep on writing even though you weren't in the public sphere?
Yes, I did write. I did write a lot of songs. I recorded a lot of melodies. But I just felt that the timing wasn't right. I knew. I asked God, like, you know, I said, God, I would know when you would want me to be recording again and putting something out there. So, yeah, 2024 came and I heard the Lord say, thank you. I heard those words, thank you. And that's when I released my new song.
That is a very strategic thing to apply God's timing to.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are. If it's not God's time, it will not succeed, but in his fullness of time. So what do you say? You heard the word thank you.
Yes, because God has brought me so far. And, you know, all I could say to him was thank you. I said, Father, if there's no other words that I have to say to you, all I can say is thank you. Because you have brought me this far. If it had not been for your grace, not just for me, but my husband and my child, you know. And so I heard the words, thank you. And this is where the new song comes in that I've released.
Before we go into the song itself,
yes.
I want to ask you something with regards to motherhood as well.
Yes.
I mean, the Bible firstly says it's one of the six things that cannot be satisfied is a mother's barren womb is one of them. And then you got your miracle baby. So it's someone else who just goes through the normal process of getting pregnant, getting the baby and life goes on. It's not that big of a thank you, you know, even though it's just such a miracle. But you must be appreciating the privilege of being a mom. Like
absolutely.
No one else can. It must be something very precious between you and God.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, with Eli being so beautiful, a beautiful, special little angel, it's 4 years later that I'm starting to see and God is starting to reveal to me, Lynette, this is why I chose you for Eli, you know, the special little angel that I've given to you. Yes, he may not be like other kids, but he's my miracle. I say, God, I gave birth to him. So there's greatness inside of him. You have a plan and a purpose for him. And I know that he'll be great. So every day, you know, I thank God that my husband and I have been chosen for this season with Eli. And I love being his mom. I love the journey of motherhood. The fact that I'm on this journey alone, I say that it's a miracle by itself. The miracle is the journey. And whatever God does, whatever the outcome is with Eli, it's just a bonus at the end of the day. So, yeah.
So if you had to put yourself now in God's shoes, because obviously he's a parent and you're a parent, and no one can understand parenthood until you become a parent yourself. Did it give you a revelation of how God feels about you once you became a parent?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. You know, for me, like after becoming a mom, I felt like there's no greater love. So imagine how God feels about me as his child. You know, I love you so much. So now I have the privilege of loving my own, you know, for doing things for my own baby. And I always say, I can't imagine how much God loves me, you know, for God to love the world.
That he gave his and only son, just a thought. I mean, now you understand what it must have cost him to send Jesus to earth.
I mean, the greatest gift we know is love, you know. God is love.
You know, if I had to be honest with you now, if the, a whole city, a whole country would be lost and they would have been helped by my child being the one offering up herself or himself, I don't know if I, as a parent, would be able to do something. I would say, I don't care that the whole world is going to be lost. My son is my son. My daughter is my daughter. It says such a lot about God to me, about who he Absolutely. Is and how passionate he feels about this lost world. And how Jesus, I mean, they agreed to that before even the first anything, before the, anything physical was created. The lamb was slain and I was chosen Amen. Before anything happened. So that they're in agreement to that, I can just imagine a conversation like that.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, let's get to your music. I want to play this song, Thank You. And you'd think it's a very obvious message, but I'd love to give you the opportunity to, when I listen to the song, what is it that you want me to say? What was your heart's intent behind the song?
All right. Okay. So when you asked me about life's challenges, when you asked me about Eli, what I've been through, everything that I've actually said to you, this is what I want you to hear. When the lyrics say, you walk me through the fire, I want to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength and helping me to walk through the fire. This is what I'm talking about. All the challenges that I've set to you. So hear this in the song when you play it.
And then I want you to connect us. If I'm looking for you on social media and any of those places, what do I search for?
You search for Lynette Jonathan on Facebook. The same on Instagram. I'm Lynette Jonathan on YouTube as well.
You've got all channels just for the music, or do you do some inspirational stuffies as well?
There is some inspiration as well, but yeah.
Lynette Jonathan, people, and we're going to listen to the song Thank You. And maybe if you're in a place at this moment where she was a few years ago, maybe you're someone who's been asking God for a baby, or you're someone who's just been through such a lot of brokenness. It's in his presence. It's with thankfulness that we enter his presence. So a song like this one is going to help us with that. It's called Thank You by Lynette Jonathan.